Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
So I hope I can land this thing tonight, because I have a whole bunch of shotgun pellets that I need to pull, and I hope I can tie it all together. But we talked this morning about identity coming from the Father, and I want to look at that from another aspect as well. And I want to look at what are some things that maybe keep us in resistance to God, and I want to look at that. I'm going to try and do it all in 39 minutes. So we're going to try and pull it together. So is it okay if we just act like family?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, in this tender place of worship, we were like, come, Lord Jesus, come. And you just feel the heartbeat of the Father. And you feel, you know, the welcoming of the Spirit. I want to teach from that place. I don't want you to wall up your heart to me. I don't want you to tune me out. I want you to pay attention tonight to see, is there something she's saying tonight that is affecting my life?
Yeah.
And how do we get it free of it so that we walk out of here different than we were?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, to make it legal, here's the verse. John 9, 1 through 7. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, and while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes, and told him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And so the man went and washed and came home seeing. What a strange verse to look at. Of all the ways God could do a miracle, he spits. I'm going to pause for a second on this. I was talking this morning about the difference between, you know, spirit of adoption and, you know, poverty and being adopted and how we look at lack. And I remember years ago, it's a tragic but funny story. My stepmom passed away. And she didn't raise from the dead in the hospital room. And so we're heading to the funeral. And my son Timmy's like, Mom, I can't wait till we get there. And we put our hands on the coffin and she springs up. And I thought, well, that's going to be difficult. And he goes, why, Mom? I said, because she isn't going to be in a casket. She's going to be in an urn. What is that, Mom? Well, it's like a vase. How does she fit in a vase? I'm like, well, sometimes they want to save space, so you're dead, and they put you through this fire, and I'm thinking, I don't want to scare him, but it's like, put you through this fire, and you come out all ash, and they put the ash in a vase. And he gets really quiet, and I think, oh, I scared him. A little bit later, he goes, you know, Mom, we came from dust. I want to talk about how lies get planted in our hearts and how those lies try to defend us. And we are body, soul, and spirit. And, you know, I think most of us, if we knew we were playing around with bad spirits, we wouldn't really invite them too often. But I find that a lot of times we invite spirits into our lives because of the lies we believe. And then they tend to wall us up against God and his truth. And I want to look at all of this as we go, because remember this morning I said one word from the Father changes everything. And I want to talk from my heart tonight. And as I tell my story, I want you to hear your story. I want you to put your story in where you've been lied to, where you have agreed with those lies, where you have decided things about yourself, and you have walled yourself off to self-protect. And how we partner with those ungodly forces. Every time we partner with a lie is an open door for the enemy. Not, he doesn't always jump on it, but he can, right? So I grew up being teased horribly about my nose. I know. And somewhere as a little girl, I just realized I'm never going to be pretty. And think about what you were told. What were you teased about? Were you too short? Were you too tall? Were you too short? I mean, too fat, too skinny? I mean, kids are cruel, right? And they're trying to one-up you, right? But you will get your identity somewhere. Remember, identity comes from the Father. Well, my father, bless him, very quiet man. I don't remember my dad ever telling me I was pretty. I didn't have any way to combat that lie. And I was teased horribly. And then my mom decided, probably about second grade, she goes, my aunt was a hairdresser. And she's going to take me and get my first professional haircut, right? And I sit down and I say to my aunt, she goes, what do you want? I said, I want a haircut that makes my nose look smaller. And she says this, oh, sweetie, I'm a beautician, not a magician. And that little seed down inside is watered and it begins to grow. But the good news is I could get identity somewhere because I learned in school I was smart. Thank God I had something I could look up to. So you know what I did? I just started thinking, you know, I'm going to prove I have worth. I'm going to be really smart. I'm going to get straight A's. And then what happens with that is I still am not pretty. Right? There's still that place inside, the thing that the enemy is harassing you at, and you push it down and push it down like, it's okay. I don't have to be pretty. You know, you can't have it all. I can be smart. But what happens with that is superiority. So without me knowing, as a child, I begin to partner with a spirit of superiority. I don't have to be pretty. I'm smart. And I'm smarter than you. So you can't challenge me because I know all the answers. It's my protection. Because you know what? I can't compete with beauty. But I can take you down with being smart. But the problem with that is there's always someone smarter. Right? There's always someone that can figure things out. And so you're always in this place of having to one up. And so I learned to protect myself by being smart. And then I learned I was really good at sports. I'm like, this is awesome. Now if I'm not as smart as you, I can beat your butt in a game. How did you protect yourself? How did you make yourself feel like you had value? If it's not coming from the Father, you will invite a spirit to protect you. And you know what? Those spirits, they don't play fair. And sometimes it's a perfect storm. What you believe inside is the same thing the outside spirits are wanting to say. Do you know the enemy? I don't think he can read your mind, but I do think he can tell what you believe by how you act.
That's it.
Right? And the enemy knows I'm not feeling pretty because he had the kids tease me. Kids have no filter, and the spirit realm is saying, do this, do that, and kids are just speaking it, and then you believe it because you don't have someone combating it. Nobody telling me it's okay. You know, everybody has big noses. They don't. But if my dad would have said that, I would have thought so. Right? Identity comes from the Father. And so I become a Christian. I'm playing competitive sports. I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my 20s. And I have this cute little outfit on. I've got my hair done as best as I can. Probably a little bit of makeup, because when I got to Bethel, I had a friend. I call her Barbie. She's beautiful. And she took a look at me. She goes, hey, come on over here, little one. She never teased me, but she just kind of gently helped me. Does that make sense? Because she could see, not that I was ugly, she could see I didn't believe I could be something else, right? And so I probably had a little bit of makeup on, and I go to the grocery store. I'm in this cute little outfit. I am in no fat on my body because I'm playing really good sports. And you know how you walk into a grocery store and there's the double doors? And women, you know this, you can see yourself in those windows. And I walk up, and I'm thinking, man, I'm looking good. See, you will try to combat the lies, but the enemy knows the lies you believe. Yeah. And he will create a perfect storm to make sure you continue to believe your lies. So I see myself, I'm like, dang, I look good. I step into the store, and I kid you not, a little 2-year-old yells out across the store, Mom, look at that lady with the really big nose. And all of a sudden, I'm that little girl at the hairdresser who will never be pretty. Put yourself, what's the world been telling you? How have you been self-protecting? You know, and then it's really bad if you're not super athletic or you're not super smart and you're not pretty. And what do? Hopelessness. I'm a failure, so I'm just going to not care. I'm not going to try. Underachieving. It's your protection. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Is it too real? Ephesians 6:12, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, authorities, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. And one of the things I teach on is shifting atmospheres. And the way I teach on that is, do you understand the enemy is broadcasting?
Yeah.
And we pick it up. And if you don't understand it's not you, you will speak it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
The enemy wants you to speak it out, because when you speak, you give it life. And the enemy doesn't want you to know who you are in him. The enemy wants you to self-protect, because he knows all the little critters that can help you self-protect. Okay, so let's just pause there. So all these years later, I'm on the prayer line, Bethel Church, and I love how God works. My husband was hired to be the CFO at Bethel Church, which meant we had to attend. We came from a very conservative church where if you stood up, you were the only one. You could feel that, you know, like, ooh, sit back down. Raise your hands like this. And we come to this church, and it was before Bill Johnson, and it was just wild and crazy assemblies. You know, it was like, waha! You know, we're like, and I'm just like, what is going on in this church? I had a friend say to me, how are you doing at that church? And you know, I'm coming from very conservative. I'm like, I don't know. It's out of my comfort zone, but it's fun. I didn't know church could be fun. Right? But the problem is, I brought some things with me into this church. Superiority. Jealousy. Competition. I'm a good Christian. I'm saved. I even have the Holy Spirit. And then Bill Johnson comes, and this anointing is released in the Spirit where you're just standing in awe of what God is doing. And you can feel something's up, but I'm not receiving because I have my protectors. Wow. And I'm on the prayer line. And I'm on this prayer line, and they're like, assume the position. It's like, okay, here we are. And people would come by and pray for you. And people would be falling right and left, and I'm standing. Two years on the prayer line. I would get so frustrated. I swear, if I didn't have to attend church, I wouldn't have kept going. Because I'm standing on the line going, what is wrong? See, once again, I am excluded because I'm not something everybody else is. Wow. And I can't compete with this. And I'm standing on the prayer line and I'm waiting for him to say something. And I'm getting all the prophetic words. You're a tree firmly planted. You're a pillar in the house of God. And I'm like, dude, it's not that hard. I'm the only one standing. I literally told the Lord one night, I was so angry and so discouraged. And I said, God, if I get one more tree or pillar word from the prophet, I'm going to hit him. So they're going to know if they're prophetic not to give me that. And I'm back on the line. And I talked about building history with God. You're back on the line, right? And every time we get back on the line, we're building history. But in this place, it's frustrating. It's like, God, what is going on? And I'm just like, I don't know what is blocking. Everyone, it was so frustrating in those 2 years. I can remember going back into high school when I got invited to a party, which wasn't often, because I was the smart kid. I would go to a party. The moment I stepped through the door, the party would die. Would die. Over and over. And so then you don't get invited because they're like, not only are you the smart kid, but there's something really wrong with you because you kill a party. So in the middle of all this time, 2 years on the prayer line, Bill Johnson would say, run to the anointing. Run to the anointing. If you want it, run there. And laughter would just break out over here. And I'd run to the anointing. It would die. I'm not kidding. It got so bad that I'd run to a group and they'd be like. Once again, I'm excluded. And then we have this sermon about Peter denying Christ. And Peter says, God, I won't deny you. Jesus, I won't deny you. And Jesus says, really, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I'd heard this sermon a lot of times, but something happened in my heart. See, I've always thought of myself as really brave, okay? I grew up in martial arts. I've had deliverance. Don't panic. But I could still kick your butt. No, okay. Just kidding. Just kidding. That's that little competitive thing coming back up. Okay. And so I've always thought of myself as strong. I'm an athlete, you know, and I'm smart, ready, right? That's my protections. And I have this thought, you know, Peter is brave. Peter's one of the men, and he denies Christ. So I'm on the prayer line, and the Holy Spirit works in me, and it's kind of like tapping you on the shoulder, like, you know, maybe you're not as brave as you think you are. But you know, for me to admit that means I have to let go of my defenses. It means the thing that protects me, that competition, that superiority, I have to just let a chink in my armor go to actually agree that possibly I might have failed. And I'm on the prayer line and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. And just having this moment with God. God, I am so, so sorry. I said, I might have denied you too. And I heard something
I couldn't believe 2 years. And I heard something, and he said, no, you wouldn't have. I'm like, I heard him say, I wouldn't have denied him. And I'm thinking, I'm about to just start patting myself on the back, like, I finally heard God, and he thinks I'm brave too. And he says, actually, kiddo, if he ever talks to you like that, be ready. Actually, kiddo, in my day, you wouldn't have been asked that question. You know, Peter was asked, aren't you one of his? Aren't you a disciple? Didn't I see you hanging out with him? And Jesus is like, no, no, kiddo, in my day, you wouldn't have been a disciple. You would have been a Pharisee. I'm like, are you kidding me? I waited 2 years to hear this. The religious spirit will kill the anointing. And it didn't matter. 2 years on the prayer line. I want it, I want it, I want it. But this thing that I have agreed with that has kept me safe because I'll never be pretty, but I'm smart, I'm better at you than sports, superiority, the religious spirit is blocking access to the Holy Spirit. Everything you agree with that's a lie. Open a door to demonic protection. We have to find out truth because the truth is how we are able to get to the Father. What is the truth for me? I don't have to be smart. I don't have to be pretty. I don't have to be athletic because Jesus paid it all. I don't have to compete for your affection. Because he took care of it. What did you learn as a lie? What are you using to protect yourself from vulnerability to other people? It will try to block you from his presence. Because we are body, soul, and spirit. Spirit was my superiority. Soul was the lies I believed. How does that affect your body? I've worn my body out by being an athlete because I needed to prove I had value. Again, one word from the Father can change everything. So I'm back on the prayer line. You know, I was like, I don't want to be a Pharisee. I mean, it was in my face. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a Pharisee. We had these little songs we sung in Sunday school. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Hey, you ever heard that one? I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Because a goat ain't got no hope. Nope. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. I don't want to be a Pharisee. And I just started singing this little thing. I'm like, I'm laughing, kind of crying and laughing because I'm like, I don't want to be a Pharisee. I want what everyone else has been having for 2 years, but the thing that is in me, this superiority protection is keeping me from receiving the very thing I so desperately need. And I'm back on the line. I would love to tell you that instantly I felt everything shift. No, but it was the beginning.
Yeah.
That crack in my armor to say, I don't want to be a Pharisee. And you know what, God? I didn't think I was because I am a Christian and I love you and you love me and the word talks to me. But something wasn't right. And I'm back on the prayer line and finally, I don't know how long later, I see something else that comes. And you know how God's pictures are? It's like you see and you know, but it wouldn't make sense if you didn't have the interpretation. And I see this huge hand come out of heaven. And in his hand is a seed, and it's an emerald, and it's me. Okay? And I heard him say something. Do you think he said, wow, you're so smart? Do you think he said, wow, You're so good at sports. Do you know what he said? He said, look at what I've created. Isn't she beautiful? Because God knows the very lie, the deepest thing down inside of you.
Yeah.
That is built into this solid tree that you have protected everyone from looking at. He didn't answer the applause of you're so smart, and I am smart. And the applause of, you know, you're so athletic, and I am athletic. But he knew the damage down inside. If we're brave enough to let down our defenses, he will speak to that place that maybe only you know is the lie. But you have to let him in. So why did I start with the blind man? I heard a brilliant teaching from Chris Vallotton about this. Because the man was blind, he was unclean. And because he was unclean, everyone else had to stay at a distance from him. But because he's blind, he might bump into you. So you would spit so that he would know, oh, I'm too close to you. We are body, we are soul, we are spirit. Yes, he needed eyes. Yes, the spirit of rejection. Maybe hatred, maybe jealousy was on him, but he needed the lie healed inside that I'm not unclean. And when Jesus spits in the ground and puts mud on his eyes and says, now walk over there, Jesus is saying, walk past everybody with the offense on you that has been happening to you since birth because they've been spitting on you and wash it off. Body, soul, and spirit. Jesus is the whole package.
Yeah.
We're not in church to just applaud him, although that would be enough.
Yeah.
We're not in church just to talk to people like-minded, although that helps. No, we are here to conform to his image. And every lie you have about yourself does not conform to his image. So I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Lord, what lies am I believing? Down in the very core of who you are, who do you actually believe you are when you are less than someone else? When you hide that place where you think, if these people sitting near me would know this about me, they would not treat me kindly. What were you taught as a little child? And then ask him, how have I been protecting myself from this lie? Because every lie we believe and partner with is an open door to the demonic. How do we close the doors to the demonic? We break free of the lies. We stop sinning because the lies propel you to get identity somewhere. But the only identity that matters is what Papa thinks. What does Papa say? He didn't say I was smart. He didn't say I was athletic. He didn't say, wow, all those trophies you've gotten for Golden Glove. He said, isn't she beautiful? I speak to that place inside of you. That place where it just aches inside because you're like, I'll never be. I can't. I won't. I don't even hope anymore for that place to be truth. And I invite you to drop your defenses and ask the Father what He says about you. Because one word from the Father changes everything. So just say, Father God, out loud, Father God, what do you think of me? And I would write it down. Because just like the lie that was put in my heart when I was a little girl. Yes, my nose is big. Okay, it's not a lie. But the lie is I'm ugly because my nose is big. That place down inside, and God goes in, and I water it by what other people say, and then I start speaking that same thing over me, and I'm watering and watering and watering that seed until it becomes the truth. When God speaks to you, it's imparted as that seed. Then you get to water it. You get to ask Him more about it. Remember we talked this morning, get to the Father every day through Jesus. Get to Him. And get to the Holy Spirit. And let Him water the seed of truth inside of you until it becomes what you really believe of who you are. One word from the Father changes everything. I'm not really sure how to land this. I've got all the pellets. Maybe this way, because I love prophetic acts. If you know you've been protecting yourself from a belief system that you've had, I want you to stand up, and we're going to pray. We find that there's a couple of ways for freedom, and one is forgiveness, that is huge, Matthew 18, and the other is repentance. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to forgive. So if you don't mind repeating after me, just say, I choose to forgive anyone in my life that told me this lie was true. And then every time people repeated that lie, and I allowed it to grow, I repent. And I ask you, Daddy, to reach into the soil of my heart. Wow. To remove that lie. Displace the spirits attached. And position me for your presence. Wow. I break agreement with every spirit that doesn't bow its knee to Jesus. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to invade my thinking, my cell structure, my mind.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.